Let's open our text this morning. It is Mark chapter 9. So you may know that we have been in the season of Epiphany, and Epiphany begins, if we're reading the gospel readings, begins with a Sunday in which Jesus is baptized, and the words are spoken, "You are my beloved Son," and everyone is encouraged to see that. And in the season of Epiphany, what happens are the texts open up different occasions where Jesus is revealed for who he is, and then it ends with this Sunday's reading with Transfiguration, which is, once again, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Many scholars point out to us that Mark chapter 9 is really a beautiful setup or a repeat of what happens in the book of Exodus in chapters 24 and 34, where Moses goes up on the mountain where God reveals himself, and there's a voice, and there's cloud, and there's smoke, and there's the power and presence of God. And in those texts, it happens after 6 days, Moses went up. And now what we're reading here in Mark chapter 9 is, after 6 days, Jesus went up on the mountain, and all of these things take place. And afterward, there is a coming down, if you will, and there's talk of tents. So if we have our Old Testament ears on, we're hearing some of Mount Sinai in the telling of this story. But we want to pay attention to not only that, but what bookends chapter 9, which is, there are three different stories in 8:31, 9:31, and halfway through chapter 10, where there's blindness going on, and Jesus opens people's eyes. And the encouragement for us as we read this is to say, in what ways do the disciples need to have their eyes opened? They think their eyes are wide open, but in what ways are they being called to see something differently? And I think that's the call of this text this morning. So let's pray, and let's prepare to open God's word together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for the ability to read it and hear it and be with each other and with you. So we pray as we open it this morning that you will guide us, that you will speak to us, and that you will help us to hear in new ways as we seek to follow your Son. Thank you for all your good gifts, especially the gift of today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Beginning at verse 2 of chapter 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter did not know what to say because they were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what risen from the dead meant. And they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then it is written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected. But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. listen to him. Listening sounds easy, but I think it's really hard for us today. I think it's really hard to truly, truly hear one another. There's such a clamoring of voices. There are voices inside of us and around us, pulling us in all sorts of directions, so that to truly hear, to truly understand, to truly enter into the experience of another person is really, really difficult for us. Maybe it's because the volume is so loud today. Maybe it's because of the inner volume is so loud today. Show me a marriage, and I will show you a marriage partner who does not feel listened to, does not feel heard, or does not feel understood. Show me a teenager and their parent, and I will show you somebody who does not feel listened to, or does not feel understood, or both. One of my favorite t-shirts that I don't have the courage to buy says, "My wife says I don't listen to her. At least that's what I think she said." It's a great shirt. It's probably $19.95. I don't have the courage to buy, let alone wear that shirt. My wife has a shirt that says, "My next husband will be normal." And when she wears it, I know I need to start listening. Maybe you've seen it too. I've seen a t-shirt that says, "You cannot hate someone whose story you know." And that assumes that once we get to know somebody, once we stick around a little bit, once you and I get a little bit deeper understanding of one another, you will understand why they are the way they are, or how it is that they think, or where they are on the journey. What each of these share is a common understanding or assumption that listening creates relationship. Listening creates relationship. So when you and I listen to one another, what we are doing is we're offering hospitality to one another. We're creating space for understanding, for more compassion, more room for heart-to-heart connection. All of the places in which it counts. If you take a conflict expert like Marshall Rosenberg, who's somebody I really look up to in terms of helping people hear one another and understand one another, Rosenberg will say, if you lock two people in the room for 20 minutes and they truly open themselves up and listen to one another, most conflicts and most misunderstandings are defanged and discovered in new ways because you have chosen to enter into the experience of another human being in ways you couldn't before. So that when you look into one another's eyes and you put yourself in someone else's shoes and you enter into relationship with them, most divisions, not differences, but most divisions cease. And animosity is replaced with empathy and understanding. But the challenge for you and me, most likely, is that we don't have time or space or geography inside of ourselves to give that space to somebody else, to get to know them and experience them. We're not ready to give that up. And no matter what the relationship, parent to child, sibling, spousal, no matter what the relationship, all relationships take time and consideration and attention if they're going to grow. And it goes that way with God too. Where we give up some of our heart and we give space and let someone else in. We let that person be heard in our heart of hearts and allow them to impact our lives and challenge the way we may be seeing the world or see them. But so often, we've got our own thoughts and our own impressions and our own feelings and our own emotions playing very loud so that we don't even get around to giving somebody else a little space. And we've already answered in our heads what we think is motivating them or what they're going to say. And what we're doing is we're really starting to listen to ourselves. So rarely, ask any pastor, there's a few in the room today, ask any pastor if he or she has preached a sermon, and afterward someone will say, sometimes with tears in their eyes, it so touched me when you said this. And most of us pastors will say, thank you, and say inside, I never said that. I never said that. Or if somebody's really ticked off at something you said in a sermon, and you could say, well, you can go back and listen to the CD, but I didn't say that. What's going on there? Well, maybe that's the Holy Spirit moving. Maybe that's listening to ourselves and being attentive in new ways, but something's going on there in the art of listening. But it tells us that we've got stuff going on inside of us, even when we're trying to truly hear someone. Now, where I want to ground this in the text, I think this is exactly what's happening in the Transfiguration story. A story that's bookended 8:31, 9:31, and 10:33, where Jesus is crystal clear about who he is and what he's all about, and he's very clear with them that he's heading to the cross, and it's the chief priests and teachers of the law who are going to bring him there, and he's going to die, and in some cases, on the third day, rise again. And the disciples have heard this over and over and over in the book of Mark, and especially around the Transfiguration, but they're not hearing it. They're not accepting it. They just can't wrap their heads around it. So tell us one more time why you're here, Jesus, and he will tell them again. And they just, no, you've got that all wrong. It can't go like that. And in their own minds, they have a script, a text of who Jesus is and what he's supposed to be, and we're willing to learn from him, but it can't be that. So Jesus is trying to communicate with them, trying to have them see and hear. But here's a major theme of the book of Mark, that none of us see it. None of us hear it. When it comes to Jesus, you and I have to keep walking with him and keep trying to discern what is his role and his presence in my life really mean. Well, I know the stories, but what does it mean? And when you get to the book of Mark, you get to the very end, and there's only one person who knows, and that's the Roman centurion who says, this one was the Son of God. And that's when the people can truly hear in a place of suffering and difficulty and crisis. It's in that place that the gospel can be heard. Oh, now I get it. And so you go back to the beginning of the book, and you start walking with him all over again and say, as I walk with Christ, as he walks with me, what does it mean for him to be the suffering Son of God in my life and in my world? Because like the disciples, we think we know, but we don't. And that's the point of discipleship, is to keep walking with him to unpack what his lordship, what his presence means in your life and in mine. So the listen to him is not just, you guys aren't getting it, but it's a call to listen to him, to keep listening to him, to keep walking with him, because you don't have it figured out. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to have this all figured out. No, we're not. We got the facts straight of who he is and his resurrection, and him in all of his glory. But life is about unpacking what a relationship with him looks like and what that means and how that changes the way we think and the way we act. And so Jesus is saying it over and over, and they don't get it. Now, years ago, I always thought that the transfiguration was for the disciples, for us. It was a sneak preview of resurrection, or it was a picture of the second coming. You may know that in ancient Judaism, they said, prior to the end of the world, Moses and Elijah are going to appear, and that will be the beginning of the end. Well, I think that's true. Maybe not in the way they thought it. And I always thought this transfiguration was for the disciples, but now this week I've been thinking about this, and I thought, Jesus, like Moses, and Jesus, like Elijah, is exasperated with saying this stuff and the people not getting it. And I wonder if part of Jesus' experience on the mountaintop was a little bit of pastoral care for Jesus to get a little of his truth told to some people who would understand it and listen to it. And maybe the Father is saying to everybody who will listen, look, take a look at what's happening. Listen, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Peter doesn't know what to say, so let's do a building project. You and I don't know what to say in a funeral visitation line, but we feel like we got to say something, so we say something, oh, why did I say that? And in our anxiety and in our uncertainty, we don't know what, we got to do something. So maybe God sends Jesus to people who understand what it means to be misunderstood. And then I think about all of us. Some of us who don't feel heard. Some of us who don't feel understood, and it doesn't matter what age you are. We've got that all around us, all inside of us. Who wonder if anybody really cares. And this morning I imagine a transfigured, majestic Messiah with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, side by side with him. And what if Jesus is the one on this day who is feeling unheard and misunderstood? And then I begin to wonder, what kind of Messiah is that? Who joins us in those places? Who joins us in the places where nobody gets me, nobody understands me, nobody, even when I say it, they don't listen. Or in a relationship with someone you've known for a lifetime and you still feel unheard, you still feel misunderstood, or maybe it's a brand new relationship or a relationship you're just yearning to have, but she or he does not get it. Listening builds relationship. And the Father wants that for disciples. He wants that for the Son. Peter and all of us, can you quiet yourself long enough? Can you find a still small place and truly hear and truly listen and truly try to understand? Because all of the places where we say, yeah, I got that nailed down, that's certain, I've been listening, I got all of that. It's all of those places in the disciples that are being challenged, and I think they ought to challenge every one of us. Listen to him. This is my beloved son, listen to him. And it requires a willingness to encounter, it requires some intimacy, it requires some, be attentive, and a willingness to encounter. Years ago, Margaret Wheatley talked about an unruly student that she had. And this student was angry and he was violent, and she would have been legitimized as a teacher to pick up the phone and call the authorities to protect herself from this student. And she had to still and quiet herself enough to say, but there's more going on. Take a breath. She opened up space in her mind, in her imagination, in her life to say, there's more going on here. No one has been present for this kid. I need to try that. And say, she said, can you tell me what's going on? Can you tell me what's going on at home or in your life? And the student was pacing and angry and hitting things and finally sat down. And it was like a valve opened in the student and all of this pain poured out. It had no place to go, so it had been showing up in all of this crazy behavior. But she didn't offer solutions, she didn't offer advice, she just offered a listening ear, and that was healing and transformative for him. And everything changed because all of this stuff poured out. And she says, no one had listened to him for a long time, and the silence gave room for him for the first time to be himself. There was no room for him prior to that. And she didn't have to have wise words or wise counsel. All she had to do is offer her ears, and a new relationship was formed. The goal of listening is to build relationship, and it is the antidote to despair, and it is the antidote to our anxiety. And when the disciples can see him in his glory, but also take time after the resurrection to put all of this together and say, oh, we thought we had been listening to him, but we missed it. We missed something. We didn't get it. And it's not because we're stupid. It's because in any relationship, it takes time to truly hear and to truly know. So this morning, I want to leave us with this question. I wonder what it is in your life and in my life that's preventing me and you from truly hearing and truly seeing, whether it's God or ourselves or one another, the way things truly are. Maybe I would look at God differently if I could look at somebody of another race or another ethnic class or another social class differently, because I've been holding all of this resentment or animosity or prejudice in. And that's getting in the way of me seeing God for who God is. So if you're prompting me to see my racism, God, please work on that in me, because I know it will change my relationship with others and it will certainly change my relationship with God. And maybe there are some issues between me and God that God and I have to hammer out a little bit, and it's impacting my other relationships. Open my eyes to that. Open my ears to that, because I want to have a teachable spirit. And as we do that, know that we have a Savior who listens to us, because he knows what it means to be misunderstood and not heard. We have a Savior who listens to us, who loves us, who wants relationship and wants to grow with us. So I wonder what might be getting in the way of that kind of growth for us. What's getting in the way of my truly hearing and listening? Where should my heart be softened more? Hear the words of the Father. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. She who has ears, let her hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, in a world that has stopped listening and stopped hearing, in a world with profound misunderstandings, your love through the Son breaks through and calls us through our uncertainty, our anxiety, and our certainty to see and hear something, someone new. So we pray that you would open us in new ways to what you have to offer in our relationship with you and in our relationships with one another. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that are soft and moldable. And we pray that you would break through our walls, our fences, whatever protective barriers we have around us that keep us distant from one another. So we pray that your Spirit would do what we cannot do. Hear us as we love you. Hear us as we thank you. Hear us as we say, we want to listen to you and we want to imitate you. Hear the prayer we offer in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen.